Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Through the years, I've seen, I think, probably all of the movies about Martin Luther. I've seen the 2003 version several times, but I still get goosebumps from some of the scenes that tell the story of the Reformation. The Reformation was the reforming of the church, the calling the church back to the great good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and that through faith in Him, we are free and can be certain of eternal life. The Reformation was teaching again that although we are lost and condemned on our own, through faith in Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. The Reformation proclaimed forgiveness of sins is not something to be bought. It did not have to be earned. It was a free gift from God. So today, as Lutherans, we stand boldly, we stand proudly, and proclaim that we still believe the great good news that the Bible is the Word of God and it contains the message of salvation. These words in our text were spoken by Jesus, and obviously it goes without saying, when Jesus speaks, we want to listen. When Jesus speaks, we believe what He says. Like many of you, for the past few weeks, I've been praying for Aaron Saylor. He's at basic training. I don't know if they still call it that, but he's training to be a Marine and graduates Thursday, I believe. As I'm praying for Aaron, I was reminded of my own grandson who graduated from high school this year. We call Tim our mountain man, jokingly. He loves to hunt and fish and ride dirt bikes, and he's now a big, tall, 6'2", and he has a full mountain guy beard. Praying for Tim this week reminded me of a lot of scenes that I've had with him through the years, and particularly when he was a little guy. One scene I remember was he had learned when he was very little John 3:16. And he was so proud of it, and he went to his great-grandfather. And great-grandfather had bad hearing from all his years in the factory, and so he spoke very loudly and said John 3:16. And he looked at him and said, "And great-grandpa, it's a very important verse." Well, in our text, Jesus has something to say that's very important. And so we want to listen to it. We want to try to understand it. And we want to see the blessings that come from listening carefully. Jesus said again, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." What did Jesus mean by his word? He meant everything he was preaching and teaching, but also everything that the prophets had spoken. Everything that we have now that the prophets and the evangelists and the disciples wrote down in the Bible as people were inspired by the Holy Spirit. All of the Bible is the Word of God. It was literally breathed into the writers by the Holy Spirit so that they would write what God wanted written. Through the years, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has had differences with different denominations. Differences about things like morals and social issues. But the disagreement has not really been so much about one issue or another as it has been about the authority of Scripture. We in the Lutheran Church want to say we believe this because it says so in God's holy word, where many others have started to say we believe so because we think so. And maybe that's not what the Bible really meant. We believe, teach, and confess that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus wants us to be, as Paul put it, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. What is rooted and grounded? Many years ago, the California State Park System had a program where they would invite pastors to come and stay in the park for a week or two. They'd let you stay free in exchange for being on call for any emergencies and providing an outdoor chapel service on Sunday. One year, my family and I went to Jedediah Smith Redwoods National Park up on the northern coast of California. If you've never seen the coast redwoods, they're awe-inspiring. They grow up to 380 feet tall. and they're amazing to stand beneath and to walk among. I learned that their root system goes down 12 feet, which is pretty good for a tree, but it goes out 100 feet. And so in a grove of trees, you would have all these roots intermingled and intertwined. And so a single tree had not only its own strength, but it was literally rooted and grounded with all the other trees in the grove against wind and flood damage. Jesus Christ wants you rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And He wants believers, people like you and me, to be grounded together as we're doing today in Bible study earlier in worship, to know the Word of God and to be strengthened by it. We want a faith that says the Word of God, all of the Word of God, and only the Word of God. Well, what's the first blessing in our text? You are my disciples indeed. In the days of Jesus, the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want people to believe in Jesus Christ. They tried hard to get people not to trust Him or believe in Him. It's true in our world today. There are still philosophies and cults with false teachings. Television and radio evangelists would say, maybe you ought not to come to this church. You ought to pay attention to what they have to say. And the secular world is full of subtle and sometimes not so subtle influences. Our world is less and less Christian all the time, less and less moral all the time. In the past couple of weeks, there was a volleyball team in Rudolph, Vermont. They had a biological boy who wanted to play with the girls' team, and so he joined the team, and he would come and sit in the locker room while the girls were changing, and it made some of them feel really uncomfortable. And so they complained and asked if something could be done, and the school said, yes, we've got a solution. Nobody can use the locker room anymore. One of the girls was actually criminally charged because the fact that she spoke up meant that she was saying hate speech. We live in a world that sometimes seems upside down, at least to me, and devoid of common sense. Been a lot of news about a WNBA player named Brittany Griner who was jailed in Russia because she had some cannabis oil in her luggage at the airport. I hope she's released soon. 9 months in a Russian prison has got to be enough punishment for something like that. But some people are wondering. They wonder, what will Brittany Griner say or do when she gets back to America? They wonder because she was very outspoken in criticizing America and not being proud of her country and not wanting to stand when the national anthem was played, things like that. They wonder, will her feelings toward America change now that she's seen what it's like not to have any freedom or real rights? Our world is full of influences that want to change what you and I believe we've been taught in God's holy word. You and I need to be concerned. We don't want to be led astray. We want to remain strong in the blessings that God has. And the blessing here is that if we continue in God's word, if we keep the Bible at the center of our lives, we will continue to be His disciples. We won't be led astray. You know, the world has been asking questions for a long time. Where did the world come from? Who or what is God? What happens after death? Is there a place called heaven? If there is a heaven, how do you get there? People are still asking those questions. And all the philosophies and theories of the world only give them more questions. In contrast, we have the clear and simple word of Jesus Christ who says, if you will continue in my word, you will know the truth. And it really is that simple. If we search the scriptures, if we remain strong in our faith, we will know the truth about God and about eternity and about what happens after life. The third blessing that we mentioned says the truth will make you free. Freedom is precious. My stepson here in Lexington is now a single father of four little boys. Has them half the time. Free time has become very precious to him because being a full-time professor as well as being a single parent, takes an awful lot of time. And so we see it in him when he gets the opportunity, maybe because we've helped or something else. He's got some free time. He's got something for himself. We all covet that, don't we? It's precious in the spiritual area as well. Ever since sin in the world, people have been afraid. What happened to Adam and Eve when they fell into sin? They went and hid because they were afraid of God. Cain lied when God asked where his brother was because he knew God would be angry. People are afraid of God. People are afraid of death. And people try to overcome that fear by saying things like, well, there is no God. Or they deny the existence of hell. Or they think, well, people can be okay, they can be better all by themselves. But none of those thoughts bring people real peace and freedom because they aren't true. It's only the truth of God's word that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ that we can get rid of fear. People need not fear when they know that God loves them and forgives them, and he has promised to be with them always and to strengthen them in this life as well as prepare them for the next. We don't fear because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, laid down his life, and paid the price of sin once for all time. The promised blessing of continuing God's word is that we will know that truth, and it will free us from the fears of this world. But does it really work? It worked for the early church. We read in Acts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And of the people of the biblical town of Berea, it said, they searched the scriptures diligently to see if these things were so. The early church was dedicated to continuing to be into the teachings that Jesus had brought to them, that the apostles were continuing to bring to them. They were Christians and they knew they were free from their sin and that in spite of the troubles of this world, they would be with God in the next. On the other hand, when people start to drift away from the truth, there is darkness and false teaching and error. The farther people get away from the Bible and its truths, the less peace and joy there is. By the time of Martin Luther, the church was a state church. It was concerned about the politics, about money, but not really about spirituality. The church was no longer focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. The teaching that came from the Bible that you are saved by faith was considered a heresy. A heresy, a false teaching that was to be condemned. It's no wonder they called that time the Dark Ages. Well, into that period was born a child that was named Martin Luther. His parents trained him in the early teaching of the church. He went to college. He went to the monastery. He fasted. He begged. He fulfilled every obligation that the priest put upon him. He worked. He prayed. He cried out for peace of heart, but he didn't find it. He didn't find the joy and peace that he was looking for until he discovered a Bible. We almost laugh at that. How do you have to discover a Bible? But they weren't common in those days. He found one in the library, and he began to read. And as he read, he discovered a truth, that God wasn't just an angry judge. God was also loving and kind, and God had provided a way of salvation that involved faith in Jesus Christ. Peace entered Martin Luther's life. Again, his life seemed worthwhile, and eternity took on a new meaning for him. We don't have time to talk about the complete story, but in 1517, he wrote his famous 95 Theses, 95 statements about what he thought was wrong with the church and needed to change. He published them in Wittenberg, and they were quickly reproduced and spread. He wanted to debate the truths that he had rediscovered. A few years later, he translated the Bible into German so that the common people who were able to read could read God's word in their own language. That's one of the favorite scenes from the Luther movie that I mentioned previously. Martin Luther gave a gift to his protector, a Prince Frederick the Wise. The gift was he dedicated his new German New Testament to Prince Frederick. In the scene, the hands of Prince Frederick start to go like this. And he finally says, could I have my gift? He's so excited and he takes it with such care and opens it and begins to read, and tears form in his eyes because he has God's holy word in his own hands and he gets to read it. He's so moved to be able to do what you and I take for granted, open up our Bible and read God's word. Luther wrote many other tracts and books. He reintroduced the idea that children should be taught, very radically said that girls should be taught as well as boys. He took a stand. They threatened him with excommunication. They offered him bribes. They threatened him with death. But he put his hand on the Bible and in effect said, here I stand, I can do no other, so God help me. And God did help him. The spiritually starved people all over Europe began to hear this great good news and were moved by it and motivated. The lives of people were changed. They could sing hymns like, a mighty fortress is our God, with great joy. October 31st, 1517, marks the beginning of the Reformation, where God's holy word was restored and the message of salvation by faith came back to the people. For 505 years now, the blessings of the Reformation have been with us. But I wonder, do we really appreciate the blessings we have? Are we as eager to touch our Bibles as Prince Frederick the Wise was? Do we take it for granted, or do we treasure it by daily going to it to gain that strength and wisdom? Some churches, again, in our world are denying the Word of God. They'll say, oh, it's a great book, but not the Word of God. In the church, we have a term called laymen. Laymen are people who serve the church, as all of you do, but are not ordained in the ministry. The Reformation was motivated and began to move because Martin Luther and other former priests and professors began to proclaim the great good news, but laymen ultimately saved the Reformation. A second scene from the movie is extremely powerful. The Holy Roman Emperor is upset about what's happening with the Reformation, and he summons all the princes to Augsburg. The Emperor says this to them, you will no longer worship in the new manner. You will destroy all the copies of the German Bible. You will stop your pastors from preaching the new gospel. But one prince steps forward and says, we will not stop the preaching of the new gospel. Another steps forward and says, we will not destroy the German Bibles. And the emperor is furious. Excuse me. He says, tomorrow you will march with me in the Corpus Christi parade, and you will then worship with me in the Roman manner. And the prince steps forward and says, we will not, my lord. And he explodes and says, you will, or I'll cut off your head. Then a prince steps forward and says, before I will give up my new Bible, before I stop hearing the preaching and teaching the word, I will kneel and let you strike off my head. And one by one, the laymen, the princes, come forward and kneel and say in effect to the Holy Roman Emperor, we will stay with what we are learning. We will stay with the gospel even if it causes us our lives. The emperor couldn't kill all the princes. And so a colleague of Luther's, Philip Melanchthon, came forward with what we know as the Augsburg Confession that stated their faith. And the Reformation continued. It continued because laymen stood up and said, we stand with the word of God. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We thank God for the spirit of Martin Luther, and the spirit of the Reformation is not dead, that we have pastors and lay people who continue to say the Bible is the word of God. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. That we have people who are still willing to teach and train young people and children. That we still have families dedicated to being in the Word of God. We thank the spirit of the Reformation for the opportunity to continue to proclaim that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So hear these words of your Lord and Savior this morning. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. May the truth of salvation live and reign in your heart and minds every day. May you live it and put it into action. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which does indeed surpass our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. Amen.